All right, how do you guys want to start?
Fucking roll right into it. Welcome back. I have quite literally not a single clue what episode we're on, Jake.
Tyler, it is episode 186.
186. It's a good number, 86. We're presented by Nicolay Law, Ryan. Do you know
that? Oh, yeah, I know.
Did you know that?
I know. Look at the head cover behind me.
Check out the head cover behind me.
We got head covers. We got balls. Not for sale, but for more so just to spice up the stew a little bit.
If you guys were wondering, this head on the head cover, that's Russ. That's our guy, Russ.
Yeah, great beard. Great guy.
The bald man with the beard is the Russ we speak of.
Award-winning. Personal injury lawyer.
Mm-hmm. The whole fam's involved. All the Nicolays.
You got to love the family business, especially mm-hmm. when I'm assuming there can be some spats between the family But what better people to deal with like an inner office spat than your siblings?
Or the worst, because your siblings are also lawyers.
That is true.
I think we talked about this, maybe ad read one for Nicolay. Siblings that are lawyers, those arguments got to be something to witness.
I would love to be the parents of those siblings that maybe they're...
Well, mom works with them too.
Okay, damn it. I was going to say parents that aren't lawyers, because then you can just sit back and you can listen to high level debating arguing.
I don't know if mom's a lawyer, but I know mom works there.
Okay.
And also might go low level too, because when I'm arguing with my brother, I'm going to try and get him on every technicality there is in the book. So
But imagine being able to throw the book at your brother on a technicality.
That is true. That would feel good.
And if you don't know what the book is... Russell does.
Russell knows the book.
Yeah, he does. If you have questions about the book, go to nicolaylaw.com and Russell help you out with said book.
The book's there. Paperback, hardcover, I'm maybe audiobook.
There's probably a Kindle version.
Yeah. Probably. It comes in quarterly.
Could be. Could be. Nicolay Law. Go check them out if you are personally injured.
Yes.
And you need a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
I would say no more than 90 seconds ago, I said, well, how do you guys want to start this?
And then we started it.
Guys, I think, just start the podcast in general. Guys, I think we would be remiss. I like that word. I've never used that in a
remiss?
Sense. I think we'd be remiss. Is that what you say?
Yeah, remiss, not remissed.
Okay, well, I just think remiss. We'd be missed.
No, remiss.
Well, I think you're adding an ED at the end.
Yeah, probably.
Can I help with the remiss missed dilemma here?
Yeah, uh-huh.
No, I was doing a Step Brothers bit. Oh. The pan dilemma.
Anyways, I think we'd be remiss not to talk about the heater that Scheffler is on right now.
Could we also talk about the heater that Nelly Korda is on right now? And the fact that people have been on individual heaters before, but never in the history of golf have two people been on a heater like this. There's at the same exact time.
Simultaneous heater going on right now.
And it's also like on the... Nelly Korda's like piggybacking off the Caitlin Clark mm-hmm. hype, right?
Like more eyeballs on women's sports than ever.
Yep.
And she's won five in a row now.
Because I will tell you, I want to watch her now. I want to watch her play. Just like I wanted to watch Caitlin Clark play. Mm-hmm. Because when somebody gets this much hype, you have to tune in because you might miss something. Like if she wins six in a row, I wish I would have
saw one of them.
Yeah. But yeah, the publicity in women's golf right now it's on another level.
Well, like, let's think about it, right? So Scottie's won four out of the last five, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And Nelly.
And I believe the one of the five that he didn't win, he got second.
Yep. Or third place. Was
second or
I think it was third.
Top five.
Doesn't matter.
Yep. Yeah. Either way, absolute tear. And then Nelly has won five of the last five,
which is insane.
Stupid, dude. And then I saw a graphic somebody put out of like longest streaks, like longest win streaks. And like some dude had 11 in like the 60s or some shit. But otherwise, like Tiger's longest was seven. So like we're getting close.
Very close. I saw a stat this morning. This is men's golf.
Yep.
It was like, how many starts did it take like the quickest guys to win their first event to their 10 events, how many starts in between was that essentially?
Yep. So it'd be Scottie's like 33 to win 10 or what?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think Tiger was like 47 or 57 starts to win number one to number 10. David Duval, I believe it took 33 or 34 starts for him to win number one to number 10.
I don't know who that is.
Now, David Duval, I like You've never heard of Duval?
2000s, right? Like 2000, like 2000. He was in the
tour? A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably on a Champions Tour at this point. Definitely is. But I mean, that's like 20 starts less than it took Tiger to win 1-10. Granted, Tiger started when he was fucking 16.
So our boy Duval dropped off because I've never heard this name before today.
Well, he's like, I would consider him a legend of the game. Outside of
Am I going to get shit for not knowing who this is?
Probably.
I think you'd be okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But you also have to remember, Tyler, we've only been deep into the golf world for like 4 to 5 years.
True.
If that.
Yeah. And how deep is a...
I don't know. This guy's highest ranking was he was world number one for only 15 weeks.
Yeah.
So that was probably after Redfree won number 10.
Yeah. So I think you're good.
But then like Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, it both took them about 90 some starts to win number one and number 10. I think Scotty's within the 50s, 60s right now. But then you look at Nelly Korda. Granted, it's not number one to number 10, but she has five in a row.
Yeah.
Five starts.
5 in 5 weeks.
That is insane. And now, Jake, can you tell us what the payouts are for women's golf?
For LPGA? Yeah. Let me see here. Let's just go with the last tournament, I guess. The purse was 5.2 mil.
Okay, so they're getting good purses.
Yeah, there's good money there.
I don't know.
The purse is just going to get bigger, too, the more eyeballs she brings to the sport.
Now, where can you watch LPGA at?
Same place, PGA Network. You can watch
it on Golf Channel.
I don't know. We have Hulu Live. We can watch it on that.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it's on Fubo, too.
Thursday to Sundays, and majority of the time, they're going to be streaming the PGA.
Mm-hmm. Grandpa... G Dave, I think this is an old man thing, but G Dave hates commercials.
Oh, dude.
With everything in his body. So if he's watching men's golf on a Friday, he just has the back button.
Nice.
On the remote. And he just flips back and forth between women's and men's golf because he will not watch a commercial.
It's an old guy thing because my dad does the same thing too.
Yeah. Dude,
we'll be watching a sporting event and then he'll flip back to like a different TV show. Like it'll be like I don't know, it'll be like Friends reruns.
Yeah, you'll get two spins in Wheel of Fortune before you go back to the baseball game.
Yeah, or then my dad will forget that we're watching a baseball game and then we'll sit and we'll finish up that episode of Friends. It's like I just missed the whole sixth inning, you know?
They hate commercials.
They
dude.
Do
well. They don't even have back buttons on the TV anymore to previous channel because
Grandpa still got cable. So
I know, well, it's elite. Why did they get rid of that on any streaming service or any remote? Because I have Hulu Live and
because there's no commercials.
No, there's commercials on Hulu Live.
Yes.
Yeah. But sometimes they'll fucking sprinkle in a 3-minute commercial. I'm like, I could go play around 18 by the time this commercial's done. Like, ooh, 3 minutes? Fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah.
I do wish every tournament would adopt the Masters style app where you can just go shot by shot for like your favorited group.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a pipe dream.
Also, anyways, back to further thing. The Chevron Championship is like that's the one that Nelly just recently won. That one is like a pretty high purse. She won 1.2 million in that tournament. And then
that's pretty respectable compared to like the other differences in men's and women's payouts.
Yeah,
like
then it goes down to 300K, 300K, 300K.
But still,
I mean, you look at like she just with that one win. She essentially tripled Caitlin Clark's entire like first 3-year contract
of WNBA,
3 or 4 year contract in the WNBA.
I mean, and that's just pure payouts too. Like, correct. I mean, Caitlin Clark's going to get endorsements and shit, but
definitely.
But like from money from the league, she crushed it.
Yeah. Now, you guys are familiar with Michelle Wee, I believe it.
Yep.
Believe it is.
I've heard that
women's
name.
Golf. There's the
I know that name more than I know Duval.
Michelle Wee also went on a tear, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get this as much in the LPGA as you do the PGA. So to see it now with someone like her, and she's not that old either.
Korda?
Nelly Korda.
Yeah. Is she a little younger than us?
25.
Yeah.
How old is Scotty? Scotty's 26 or 27.
Yeah.
So
these are just
how
names we're going to be seeing for a long time.
Yeah. What's that?
How old are you?
I'm 25. Nelly Korda is a month older than I am.
It's actually insane that Scottie Scheffler is 27 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he looks like he could be 40.
He does look old, dude. He dresses
and acts like he could be 40 or 50. But the man's got 10 to 15. He's got 10 more years of prime left, I would say.
Yeah.
And 10 years, a long time.
It's interesting you say that. I've seen this, I've seen this video a couple of times, but apparently people who are my age, Gen Z, are aging faster than other generations.
I've heard the opposite because none of you guys grew up at all during COVID. I'm dead serious.
Older Gen Z, my age and stuff like that. I would agree. There are some people that I see who are my age, like Scottie Scheffler, and I just assume that you're 30, you know?
Speaking of Scottie, I have the results from do people think that Scottie would have left?
Oh, yeah. I wrote all those down. People think he...
It was pretty split on the comments and stuff, but then I put the actual poll out on Instagram. 56 to 44 people think he would have stayed and finished.
Damn.
So it's still pretty split. Yeah, but we have a winner. The majority say that he would have stayed and finished out. And a lot of good takes from people saying that if I was his wife, I just wouldn't have told him if he was on 15.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because, she's watching.
Which is right. My wife absolutely would not have told me if I was on 15 making my fourth to last putt. She would not have told me until I would have got a... She'd have called my caddy on 18 and hey, tell him right after he's done I'm in labor.
Now, this probably isn't public information, but I wonder... I wonder where she what state she delivered in.
Was she not?
I don't know. So she would have delivered in Augusta.
If she was in fucking Texas, because that's where Scottie's from, right? Even if she calls him, he's not gonna make it back in time. So she had to have been there if he has plans to leave.
Yeah.
You don't think he would have made it back in time?
No.
I mean, if you walk out and you hop on a PJ, and you could Texas to Georgia is probably a 2-hour flight.
I know, but thinking of all the cost of having a PJ ready to go, sitting at idle, just ready sitting there, for flight. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's Scottie Scheffler with Augusta at his back. Somebody at Augusta has a PJ that would have flown him there.
No, or you wouldn't they want him to stay?
All right. Or you could just fly your wife out there with you. And in case she goes into labor, there's hospitals in Augusta.
They're
2 minutes away.
I don't think you're not supposed to fly after 36 weeks.
Maybe she drove. I don't know. I think she was there.
I'm pretty positive she was there.
Yeah.
This argument's going to go on and on.
I know.
It'll go on forever.
Yeah. Well, stop talking about pro golf anyway. Let's talk about us. We've all three of us have now finally golfed in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went out for my second time this last weekend. Jake.
It was my first.
First.
When we went out. Yeah.
I went out Sunday evening. First time. Yes. The first time since vacation in January. And the last time before that was with Grandpa and Brainerd.
How good did it feel?
It felt great. Felt great. And I wasn't too disappointed with my play. Drivers and irons, all perfectly fine. I just putted like I had never putted before in my life.
Fish hook off the tee?
No, perfectly straight.
Really?
And if anything, just a little push away.
Fucking A, dude.
Yeah.
Let's go. Isn't it? Sorry, go ahead.
I most greens I was there in regulation. If not, I was there one past regulation, but I didn't one putt a single hole, lots of three putts. So my score wasn't great. Shot a 49 on 9. But I would say a good 15 of those strokes were putts that should have been made.
How many three putts?
At least 4 or 5.
That's it?
On 9 holes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Okay. Whoopsies. Context wrong.
Minimum of 4 3 putts.
Okay. Not ideal.
Not ideal at all. First hole, beautiful drive. It's right down the middle of the fairway. A little bit of a fade away for me, which lines up perfect because it's kind of a dog leg right. And second shot, I leave it just a tiny bit short. So I'm on the fringe on the front of the green. I chip it up. I'm 8 feet away. And I did not pay attention to how fast the fucking greens were. Next putt, just blow it by the hole. And I just putted like an asshat. Otherwise, I'm still perfectly happy with the round because I was way more worried about hitting off of real ground.
Yeah.
With irons and driver, way more than I was worried about putting. But now we know our priorities for the next round.
Is there anything worse than three putting from 8 feet?
Three putting from 6 feet.
Nice.
That's
did that happen?
Yeah, once. Hole nine. Another almost
holy shit.
Almost identical, right? Well, amazing drive on hole nine. Best drive I hit the whole day. I got 30 yards into the green. I chip it short again, and it's on the front fringe of the green. I putt it up to within like 6 feet and then three putt. I putted a Texas wedge off the fringe.
Essentially four putted, but one was off the fringe.
Yeah, but the first one wouldn't count in the books.
Damn.
Yeah.
That.
It was tough.
That's tough. Very tough. Tyler, did you practice putting this winter at all?
I did not. Nope.
I don't think any of us did.
No.
No.
I don't really know, like, unless you have a putting mat, which we do. fuck.
I have one at home, too.
I do, too. Fuck.
No, I had. There was many opportunities to practice putting, but I got ahead of it. I broke out Grandma Kathy's old ping putter. So I'm going to blame it on that. New putter.
Yeah, well, we both did that already. Tyler, I came in here whining this morning. I tried to do a putter trade with you to try and switch up my putter game.
No, but I just, through the PXG deals and Grandpa gifting me putters and me getting my own putters through whatever, I have like five putters. And I think I'm going to do a giant elimination chamber battle royale to determine what putter I'm going to use for the year.
Do you think it'd be more useful to have five putters or five drivers?
Me, mentally, putters for sure. My driver has never really like, I've had one driver where I felt like I could blame it. Every other time it's my problem.
Is that the one you sold to me, Tyler?
No.
Okay.
Good. No, it was the one before that.
Okay, sweet.
It was some old TaylorMade like from like 2005.
Yeah.
Sold that to Lane.
We're all about selling clubs.
Yeah, we are.
But I have so many putters and I got to figure out, like, I want to know the best way to like figure out which putter I should use. So I'm thinking like maybe like a five putt gauntlet.
And no, like, I think we should do more than that. Like, I think we got to do battle royale.
Not one putt each, but like five putts with each putter. I get percentages. I move around a bunch. So then like I figure out which putter I like and then I just stick with that.
Tyler,
around the world thing.
Hey, Trevor's around in the here. World. Trevor snuck in.
Yeah.
But like, you know how we play?
Try and wrap each one around a tree and see which one holds up the best.
Whichever one holds up, that's the one I have to use.
Yeah.
Because the other ones are broken.
It was like an old Western duel.
Yeah. But you know how like when we've talked about like when we're playing solo, we'll play two balls sometimes. And it's like, it's not me versus the course. It's that ball versus that ball. And like red ball is playing shitty. I'm going to do the same thing with putters. I'm going to put them against themselves.
You put all of them in the bag?
No, I'm just going to go to like a putting green.
Okay, I was going to say.
So you're taking 15 putts in every hole then or what?
Yeah, at least. You roll up with a little like par three Sunday bag. For all your putters.
Yep.
And then you roll up with your regular.
Ooh, genuinely, thing. Like, okay, so I got two putters right behind you that are mine. I got in just this bag here, I have this putter, and I have this Extendo putter, which I won't use that. I have this putter right here, which is mine. And then at home, I have two more. I have the little ping one and then the other one that I used to use.
Could you, like, the ones you don't use anymore, could you make something cool out of them?
I'll probably just sell them.
Yeah, $200.
I'll save one for my wife. And then sell the other ones.
Ryan, you do realize that this is a club selling podcast, right?
Yeah. If anyone should know,
it's Ryan. 100%. I mean, I. We sold my entire bag to you.
Exactly.
I think it was on the podcast.
On the podcast. And then, And then my putter, which I'm trying to get rid of now, I traded to Tyler for a PS4. So
we're a swap shop.
That's exactly
what we are.
Yeah. Yeah, the Double Bogey Show rummage sale every single week.
I was watching Stacked Golf on YouTube the other day.
Because of course you were.
I enjoy them.
I do too.
It's such a simple concept. Like, let's go to rummage sale. Like, we could just do that. Like, we don't have to watch somebody else go to rummage sales and look at clubs. We're allowed to just go do that ourselves. Oh, but I enjoy watching them do it.
Also, they're so wholesome.
Yeah.
They're like,
we don't give a lot of endorsements to other creators on this page. But
I would give it to them
my,
for sure.
My thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also just, I don't think we're in the correct area to be able to find deals like that in the golf space.
We haven't tried.
I mean, I've tried a little bit. Granted, you're not going to come across gold every single time.
I think this could be a sneaky good area. We got a lot of old people neighborhoods. I think we could find some hidden gems.
Yeah. Now, I would love, like the last video I watched, they were at a flea market.
Oh, that's cool.
We don't have a ton of flea markets around here. We have like one towards Lakes area.
Yeah, there's one in DL.
Okay. I would love to go to a flea market and just start walking the aisles.
Yeah.
From vehicle to vehicle or like shitty shop to shitty shop and just see what they got.
Yeah. First person to find something truly valuable, we should do a bit about it. We should come up with like the stakes.
Yeah, first person to find something like worth over $100.
Yeah, that's a good set a number to it. What do they get? We got to decide what they get.
We'll workshop it.
Okay.
We'll workshop it. But yeah. I do think we should
go. Okay, how about
you
this?
You get to keep the putter that you find.
Fuck. Never mind.
Didn't work.
No, I was going to say whoever finds it gets to keep the money that they get from selling. Well, no shit. Of course
they
do.
Hey, like where your head's at, though.
Yeah, yep.
Really do.
You're right down the right path there, Tyler.
Yep.
So in terms of... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think we should do it because we had a great time doing the yard sale clubs video that we did.
Yeah, it was more fun finding those yard sale clubs than it was playing with them.
Yeah,
that old guy that talked our fucking ears off. Mm-hmm.
We both bought clubs from him.
Yep.
Actually, right behind you.
Yeah.
Here's the bag. I did. Well, I sent you guys a video of this. I went to the thrift store a couple weekends ago and I found a pair of size 11, like almost brand new FootJoy with like the twist Titan type deal. I mean, if I was a size 11, they would have been in my hand immediately.
You wanted to get those for somebody so bad.
I did.
Because you were waiting.
He sent them to me. He goes, too. What size are you? I go, no.
I was like, I'm 11, but I don't want them. He's like, why not? They're perfectly good. I'm like, I have three pairs of shoes.
Exactly.
I thought I did.
Oh, I didn't get that one, I don't think.
They were like, low.
Anyways, you guys want to know who's a size 11?
Me too.
Me.
So I sent them to everybody that wasn't a size 11, yeah, and I didn't send it to the guy that is a size
11. You sent
it
to me. I'm a size 11, and I just said I didn't want them. And you're like, why not? I was like, I have three pairs of shoes.
That's true. Tyler, you have, I mean,
putters. Golf shoes. Yeah, you're just...
I'm going to have to do a shoe battle royale. I'm going to have to play three rounds in three different pairs of shoes, and whichever one I play the best in.
I would say just run a 40-yard dash in each one of them.
I mean, speed doesn't kill on the golf course, though.
That is true. So to wrap up your first round of the year... I mean, it's really hard to compare to last year's first round of the year because
for sure
it was birdie hole one.
And I thought I was going to birdie hole one again until I got on the fucking green. It was playing out exactly like hole one of last year. Great drive, half decent approach, okay chip, and then I sunk a big putt to get birdie on the first one. And this one, I just blew it on the green, man. I just blew it every single hole. I had lots and lots of par opportunities and didn't get a single one.
No pars.
But only, I had no triple bogeys though, which is good for me. I was expecting for sure implosion of massive proportions, but no triples.
So I fucking love the first round of the year because you're just not thinking about anything.
Yeah, nothing at all. It was fucking gorgeous. I walked because this is a walking podcast. I got a massive ass blister. Oh, shit. Okay, so you remember the hole we met Trevor on for the very first time?
I do.
Yep.
We were at Edgewood.
We're at par 3.
I think is that hole 6? Is T-box?
6 T-box and 7 T-box.
Okay, and then
8 T-box.
So 6 T-box, and then it's the 7 green right next to it. There was a fivesome of people Trevor's age, maybe a little younger, and... they went out in front of us and we assumed that they were all knew each other, but apparently they didn't because it was split into a group of three and a group of two, and they must have decided to play a game against each other. They were at each other's throats, screaming at each other on the golf course. So the context that I got is somebody must have hit a shitty shot, and then the one group was saying that they accidentally hit it on a practice swing. And then the other group was calling bullshit.
Hell yeah. I like that.
But the way these fucking 22-year-olds argued made my asshole pucker so bad, dude. They like, dude, on God, dude, on God, dude, that was a fucking practice swing on my fucking wife, dude. And it was echoing across the course.
He wasn't.
That's
married.
Younger.
He wasn't,
that's younger.
They kept calling. He wasn't, but he said, but he said on my wife at one point.
He wasn't married, dude. He couldn't have been.
He said it, and then
he said on my life.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the lingo. They were calling each other JV golfers a bunch.
That's funny.
Like, actually. Oh, you're sitting there for double bogey. I'm sitting here for birdie. JV golfer who, bitch? And that was just really loud. Like, and we're right there. And it was so hard to listen to. And we had to, because there's a group in front of us that we had to wait to get out of our way. And these kids, we were ready. We thought for sure there was going to be hands thrown. We've talked about last year how there seems like there's more course fights than ever before. And I thought I was going to witness one of a bunch of kids. And it would have gone bad, because there was one giant amongst them and then a bunch of little dudes.
Was the giant with the... Was he in the twosome?
He was in the twosome.
Okay, well, then it kind of evens the playing field.
I think he would have ran through all of them still. But they all had their fucking hats on backwards, just barely resting on their head.
I mean, said that I probably didn't do shit like that when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, I would be lying.
I'm pretty confident I didn't. I didn't get into any shouting matches in public.
No, just in terms of like the hat. Whatever the trend was at that time. I wasn't wearing my hat like kids do these days with like the snapback right above their eyebrows. Mm-hmm. And like the bill.
Every single one of them had their hat.
The bill is pretty much standing straight up in the air or like a 45 degree angle behind. Mm-hmm. You'd like to say, thankfully, you know, they're not like behind the gymnasium throwing hands.
Yeah.
And they'd rather settle their beef on the golf course, but it looks like
I'd prefer them to beat each other's asses behind the gym, to be honest, than on the hole where I'm trying to hit my fucking drive.
Might have been huge stakes at play. It might have been like a four pack of vapes on the
maybe
line.
Yeah.
Yep. Very well. Could have been a
lot. If that was the case, I understand. Yeah. I understand the animosity.
Yeah, could have been a four pack of loons.
Yeah, could have been them loony bars.
But then they split up after hole nine. The three went back to the clubhouse. The two kept playing. So
thank God.
Either those two were either those three were just done after nine, or they just decided to part ways to avoid violence.
Yeah,
they kept playing though. They got off the green and they all five went to eight.
That makes my
B-hole
pucker.
It was not good. But that was the only shenanigans.
What's only up from here then?
But
for you.
Felt really good to go. And I'm gonna be completely honest. This is I told you guys I was burnt out last year. I got the itch again when we went to Brainerd. I wasn't like super, I don't know the right word. I wasn't super motivated to get back out there. Like, yeah, I was excited to golf, but it wasn't like I gotta get out there. But now I am. I got one little taste of it.
I think that's okay though.
Yeah.
If you're like chomping at the bit, then I'm sure that'll come in like June.
No, I got it now.
Oh,
I just, when I showed up, I was like, all right, yeah, because it'd be nice to get out and golf. But I wasn't like, oh my God, I fucking needed this. This is exactly what I wanted. But now I'm like, I got to golf every fucking day. I thought about getting a tea time this morning before the podcast.
Would have been a chilly one.
But yeah.
Yeah. Me and Ryan, we went out this chilly weekend. Yeah. Dude, we got fully ahead of ourselves and fucking booked a tea time while it was 45 degrees outside with 20 mile an hour winds.
Completely sunny too. Not a cloud in the sky. And you look outside before you head out to the course and you're like, okay, well, polo, quarter zip maybe, should be good to go. Pants, you know, just to be
Safe. Want pants,
should be good to go.
So I want to hear from your mouth. I've heard a story from this round that you guys go out there, it's freezing fucking cold, you're in a polo, short sleeves.
No, he had a jacket on.
I mean, the story's already false.
Okay, well, you're cold, you're freezing.
So I had a base layer, like the Under Armour type deal.
Okay.
I had a polo and then I had a quarter zip and pants.
Okay. Well, I heard you were freezing and jackets and extra layers were offered to you, but you refused to take them.
Jackets were not offered to me. There was a stocking cap offered to me. by Jade.
Jade also offered you the shirt off his back too.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he said
he wasn't wearing a jacket. He was wearing a quarter zip.
Oh, well,
I already had a quarter zip on.
Okay, he did offer you his quarter zip.
Well, if he did, I didn't hear it, nor would I have taken it because I already had a quarter zip on. He offered me a stocking cap, but I said, nope, I'm already five holes deep. I'm finishing this round without a stocking cap.
You still had 13 holes to go.
It didn't matter.
It could have been, would have been toasty warm for 13 holes.
Said nope.
Yep, we had hand warmers too.
Hand warmers, they worked okay. But like, it wasn't my hands that were cold. It was everything else.
I did notice that.
You guys, it was cold out.
Why don't you take the hat then?
It was bone, because it's, I mean, I get a lot of your heat is retained through your head, mm-hmm. but mentally I just, nope, don't need it.
Okay.
Got to respect it.
So yes, we did get out. Fun group. Me, Jade, Jake, Alan. Also, the guy you're getting the story from is the guy who also shot 82.
I don't know. I didn't say who. He got it from the guy who shot a 96.
I was trying to be quiet about who I got it from, Jake. I didn't want to throw you under the bus. Oh,
that's fine. It's fine.
But
I got it from Jake.
You shoot 82 with two triples and two doubles and no more than two birdies. One, maybe two birdies. So this guy's been flubbing scores since I've known him, which has been
10 years,
six, seven, 8 years. So it's hard to believe that story. I mean, I believe that he said that, but
he
also
did it. Jake did.
And here's the thing.
I haven't talked to Jade about it at all.
Yeah. We're not on the same. We're not on the same scoring app, so I can't fact check his scoring.
Gotcha.
Thank God I shot an 81, because if I would have, I feel like I played a pretty like quiet, consistent round. I had zero birdies. I had nine pars, and I had zero birdies, nine pars, eight bogeys, and one double. And
pretty good golf.
If I would have shot an 83 or above, I actually would have been a little frustrated because fuck guy over here.
But on God, dude. On God, he shot 82.
I'm going to have to check the score.
on my wife, dude.
And it doesn't even matter. Like,
on my life makes way more sense. I was so confused. I was like, how are these guys married?
God. No, I want to go back to, the biggest swing breakthrough I've ever been through.
Did this happen on the course?
No,
he's talking about the practice swing thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which you got way more credit than I gave you from the audience when I posted that clip.
I was
a little nervous you're going to get fucking toasted, but you didn't. There was a lot of people that came.
Don't be nervous, Tyler. It happens like biweekly.
True.
But I've stuck to that through my two rounds this year, and I can say that it has helped me immensely.
Okay.
My driver's been a lot more consistent. It's really just like my short game, I would say like 50 yards and in. I just don't have that feel yet. And then also my putting. I still do not know how to read a putt to save my life in terms of pace and break. And as much as I'd like to be upset about that, hey, buddy, you don't practice putting ever.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know. I didn't have a single one putt in 18 holes.
Same. So but only nine.
I think I had one or two, three putts, and I had the rest were twos.
So right now our problem as a group is the green.
And
not Trevor. Not Trevor's
my putting, dialed, dude. My putting this year has been the best it's ever been.
Did you practice this winter?
No, I put it in the sim, so my like speed control is better now because I'm like, okay, this is 12 yard or 12 feet. But my chipping is horrendous.
Mm.
Why is that?
I wish I could tell you.
Why can't you tell us?
I don't know.
Oh,
I
literally
don't that's know.
Okay.
What does Miles say? Well, that sucks because this is a podcast. So yeah,
but it would also be tough to go to the range with a full bucket and just practice 30 to 50 yard chip shots.
Yeah,
no, wouldn't
feel like you're throwing away money.
Yeah, would you got it? You got to hit driver. You got to hit fucking high. You got to hit your big sticks.
I love when a course puts like a little target at 30 yards because then you don't feel like an idiot for practicing your chips.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
And especially Rose Creek has like it's the driving range green essentially with like two pins on it. Yeah. I really like that.
Yeah.
Or then
like if you're talking about like green side chipping, you just go to the putting green for that. You wouldn't go to the.
Yeah, but it's hard to practice a 30 to 50 yard chip.
Yeah. I'm talking about green side chipping.
Sure.
Go to Edgewood.
Yeah.
They could go to Edgewood. There.
Yeah. But it's like, it's weird how the things that you don't practice are like, it's your biggest kryptonite in the first couple rounds. I mean, I get it. It makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for the weather to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, we
gotta
run it back when it's not 40 degrees.
Or just don't go at the earliest tee time you can. I went at 6.
We went at 11:30 a.m.
Oh.
11:50 a.m.
I went in the evening at 6. I had a 6:10 tee time. And it was absolutely gorgeous out.
On Sunday.
The entire time. Yeah.
Yeah, we went Saturday.
Yeah, it was the same temp.
There was no wind on Sunday.
Yeah, there was. My ball was getting blown around.
The temp wasn't the same.
No, it was like 10 degrees colder on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, not that it matters. But yes, you're right, Ryan. It's about time that like I get out there when it's like decent weather. And I felt like I was being hindered. And I know that's an excuse. And I'm full of them.
For sure. Yeah, me too.
But I felt like I was being hindered by the cold.
So I think what we need to do, I think we all need to go to that par 3 course in town. Trevor can work on his 30-yard chips. And then we all just putt 5 different times every time we're on a green.
It's not a bad idea.
I'm in.
Because that's everyone's problem is the short game right now.
I mean, I love a par 3 course. I don't know about you guys, but par 3 courses are the best.
I think they're fun. I don't think they're the best, but I enjoy them.
Okay, they're not the best, but
that's what you said.
You get what you're saying.
They're enjoyable.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. We're all going to a par 3 course already. Round 2.
How did your guys' first rounds of the year go?
Mine went great. Ryan, I had a birdie putt hole 1.
You did? You had a tap-in birdie on number 9?
Yep, had a tap-in birdie number 9. Yeah, hole 1 had a birdie putt, missed it, ended up at the par, then went triple and then a 10.
Oof.
But I kept it under 100 that round, so that was pretty sweet.
That's actually, with a triple and a 10 on the card, that's good.
Yeah.
And your 10 was on the hardest hole in the course.
Yeah, I just had like 3 balls
down
the water.
Was that hole 3, Rose Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, like after I got through those 3 holes, played steady Eddie, had a birdie later on in the round. I parred, I think, like 3 or 4 holes after that. And then I had, I don't know, a couple just regular old bogeys. And I was pretty happy with how I played.
Yeah. I would say the most frustrating thing about, this would have been my second round of the year, but I was in the passenger seat of the golf cart. And you guys know how I do in the passenger seat. I don't do well. And for this specific reason, the amount of times I had to tell Jade what direction to go with the cart, it had to have been at least once every other hole because he would start driving. I don't know where the fuck he was going. He would just start driving in the complete wrong direction. I'm like, tee box is over there. Or like, hey, we're playing whites. My ball's over here. It's just like, am I babysitting here or dude, can I get in the driver's seat?
Dude, on a hole 18, we've been playing the white tees for 17 holes, aka the last 3.5 hours. And Jade pulls up to the blues on the last hole of the day. I'm like, what are we doing, brother?
I know. It's a lack of focus. What it is.
Yeah, you can't let him be behind the wheel.
I can't.
He's focused on his 83.
I can't. 82.
82, sorry.
Anyway. Trevor?
I've played like 4 rounds already.
Not surprising.
First round.
Which is great. I mean, you're young. You no responsibilities.
First one was like 2 weeks ago. We just played 9. It was cold, but it was just like enough where it was like I had a sweatshirt, sweatpants on. I was chilling. But it was fine. I don't remember a lot from it.
So he didn't play well.
No.
Otherwise, he'd tell us.
I have 2 birdies already this year, so we're chilling.
Hell yeah, brother.
Okay.
Okay, there's Trevor's first 4 rounds.
Let's go.
In 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I think we should take a break. And then I want to talk about like the one thing I noticed is just a few things that you can't do on the golf course and feel cool about yourself. Like there's some things that just make me feel really dumb that shouldn't, but they make me feel really dumb on the golf course. So we'll do that after the break, I think. So I walked on Sunday with my push cart. And no matter how hard I tried, no matter what I did, there's no cool way to walk down a hill, especially when you're holding the push cart.
Oh, like a big...
You just feel like a fucking idiot. Like even without the golf clubs, walking down a hill, there's just no cool way to do it. You're just fucking feet are way heavier than they need to be. Your back's like you're all cocked up like a peacock.
You have to like point your toes as you're walking down so you make full contact.
And if you want to like walk down naturally, you almost got to go sideways and then you look like a dumbass for like galloping down the hill.
What you need to do next time?
You walked down a hill sideways before?
Yeah. not with a push cart, but I'm just in general.
Okay.
Like, it's easier to go down sideways. Like, I'll go down the stairs sideways sometimes if I'm trying to go fast. You can skip a bunch of stairs.
What?
I'll show you guys after. I'm an expert at going up and down stairs. In wrestling, we had to run like 100 stairs a day. Like, you go up and then you'd go down a hallway and then back down and you just run a circle. And we ran stairs all the time. So I'm an absolute wizard at running up and down stairs.
I don't think you can sell us. You're trying to sell us on the fact that you're going up the stair, up and down the stairs sideways.
Down.
I understand. I know what you're doing. Yeah. It's not sideways. It's like a diagonal kind of thing.
Like a 45 degree.
Yeah.
You turn your feet. Your feet are going sideways for sure. I'll show you guys. I'm really good at it.
Well, I would take you on in a going down the stairs competition any day.
I want to see what that looks like.
Me too.
It's efficient. I promise.
You
don't look cool, though. I'll tell you that.
No, you don't. You absolutely do not look cool, but it's efficient.
Well, because don't your feet get crossed up at some point?
Yeah, but if you're an athlete, you're fine.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, turn around. It's on the green screen right behind you right now.
I'm confused. Fuck.
I'm just kidding. I was going to put it on the green screen.
But what?
The podcast. You running up and down stairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure. We can film it after.
Yeah.
But I'm just.
Okay.
Think about it. Your feet feel heavier than they have ever been. You look like a fucking duck walking down the hill. There's no cool way to do it.
You ever try pulling your cart?
Why would I pull it down the hill? It'll roll into me.
Or you push your cart in front of you right away and then walk down.
Yeah, I'll let it ghost ride, but then you still got to walk down the hill and look like a dumbass.
Dude, why aren't we just like, you know, when you're a kid and your mom let you push the shopping cart, you like take 3 steps and then jump on the back and like glide with the shopping cart through the parking lot? You just got to do that with your golf bag.
Yeah, there's just no good way to stand on it. I've thought about that, Jake.
This should add that.
Yeah, like pegs.
You'll tip it over.
Yeah, add pegs.
The weight distribution is insane.
They should have like a seat in the front. You know what I mean?
They make seats for push carts. So like,
it's kind of like
if there's no
like
bench,
stroller.
You can just sit and wait on your push cart.
A front seat on a push cart with maybe like right in between your legs. There's like a little tiny handle that you can steer with.
Yeah,
that'd be fucking. So I'd be going on to hills. I'd take the long way. I would go up a hill just to come back down it.
You hit a bump and you just eat fucking shit.
Oh, dude, that suspension on
that is can a, you imagine
it's a vehicle not made to handle bumps.
Can you imagine you'd have to like stick your legs straight out in the air? What a visual that is. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have that issue because I don't walk. But I can only imagine how funky it looks.
I mean, you've never walked on a hill in your life, Ryan?
I have. No, we're talking, this is golf course. Is this not golf course related?
Or? Yeah, well, it's also just life. But it happens to me. I'm not walking hills for fun outside of golf anymore these days.
You're not switchbacking it down a hill on the course?
No, can you imagine?
I mean,
if I saw somebody switchbacking down a hill at a golf course, I would lose all respect. That's an even dumber look than me doing the half run walk down the hill.
Unless you're on the road to 10K steps that day and you just got to get them in.
You'd still look like an idiot.
Would you look like more of an idiot than how it has like pointing the toe is how you normally have to do it?
Yes.
Really?
If you were switchbacking down a regular ass golf course hill.
Hey, but you just gotta,
I'm just posing the question.
You got to play it cool. Every time you turn around, you just got to go, I think my ball's over here. No, I think it's over here.
You're looking down and scanning. No
second
thing.
Guess, third guess. Fourth. Okay. Yeah.
It's a lot of work just to switch back down the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cart. It's a great alternative.
I'm still not going to do it.
One thing that makes me feel super dumb on the golf course is when I order a drink from the bev cart and then they proceed to tell me that's cash only.
Yeah.
It just kind of burns me a little bit inside because then I have to break the news to them that I don't have cash. Yeah. Or I have to be that guy to ask for cash from your buddy, your playing partners. And say, yeah, I'll shoot you a Venmo at the end of the round. Or like, hey, just put it on, like, if you're playing like $5, oh, yeah, just put it, just take it off the tab.
Yeah.
Because number one, if they don't have cash, then you don't get a drink. And then you have all the letdowns in between.
Especially if they've already started making the drink. Cup's got ice in it already. It's sitting out on the cooler. And you're like, I don't have cash for you. So dump that ice out.
And a majority of the time, this isn't the case anymore. I think a lot of courses will go, they'll have the iPad or whatever. Or, I mean, what's even worse is when they take your card back to the clubhouse. I mean, I'm forgetting that.
That's 80, a recipe 85% for, yeah. Time.
I'm forgetting that thing at the clubhouse.
Absolutely.
So you just hope that you're not like on a golf trip or something and you have to drive home or fly home the next day or whatever, because that card's not coming back.
It's gone.
Gone.
Yeah. Gone. Card's gone. I'll tell you mine is when I hit a ball onto another fairway and then there are other people who are also playing that fairway in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the nonverbal mental shimmy that you have to do with these people to get in to hit your ball and then come out is one of the most embarrassing things ever, because they know exactly what you're doing. And of course, I'm gonna let them hit their drives or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're on the tee box. I'm gonna be doing all of those things. However, the unspoken communication that you have to do with these guys and then throw them the wave at the end, you get your hand up and let them know, hey,
you
thanks.
Do the half-ass shitty jog away from your ball after you hit it.
Yeah. You're like, you're still at a walking pace, but you're definitely picking your feet all the way up off the ground, you know, and maybe your shoulders get a little higher while you run.
Bouncier.
Yeah. Bounce your shoulders a little bit.
Yeah. It's a stare down. Like when you get up to your ball, you stare at them and they stare at you. So, and you're waiting for their like hand gesture as to like, hey, go ahead.
Exactly.
And that could take 30 seconds.
And half of them don't give it to you. So then you got to look to your, if they're to your left, then you got to look to your right to see if there's a group in front of them that they're maybe waiting for. Yep. It's just a lot of information you got to process while standing there looking like a dipshit because you hit your ball into the wrong fairway.
Yeah. While also having to do it all quickly. Mm-hmm. Like if there was plenty of time, no big deal. I'd waltz right out to my ball. But the fact that I have to light jog out there, mm-hmm, and leave my cart in between the two holes or whatever is.
And that's
tough
and
scene.
It slows down pace of play even more if they're insistent on hitting their drives before letting you hit your shot, because it's your one shot to what could be their four shots that you have to wait for.
Yeah.
So I think priority goes to the guy in the other fairway because everyone's been there. So the one shot that has to come from the other fairway, you got to let them go first.
I think so too.
But there are guys out there that won't let you.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I think, yeah.
And then you roll up to that ball and you take the quick, you just fucking grab a club out of your bag. You take the quickest shot possible and things just don't.
You're never going to have a good shot.
No.
Yeah, it's never going to be a good second
the
shot.
The one exception. Do you guys remember Pine to Palm when I hit one on the like on the fringe of the green?
Yep.
On the other, like the hole.
The wrong green.
Us?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I had to hit like a 140-yard shot from the fringe of the hole next to us with people on. I had to wait for the guys to putt out.
They were putting.
That were 15 feet away from me. Now, you want to talk about feeling dumb. I'm just sitting there waiting to hit my ball while these guys are putting out.
Ryan's looking at his 165-yard shot. Hey, nice putt, man. You got the line there.
And luckily, I was far enough off the green to where I could take a little divot if I wanted to. Because if I was on the green, I probably would have just had to either try and skull one off the blade or...
Well, you get free roll.
I don't know.
You pull it back off the green.
Oh, true.
Yep.
True. Yeah. Competition play. I don't fucking know the rules. Luckily, we had a college golfer with us. So I'm like, hey, what do I do here?
Yeah, the only reason I knew that is because Lucas said so.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep. Not ideal.
No, you feel pretty stupid. The other one, I don't know. Mine are very obscure, but I feel like there's no cool way to set the pin down after you pull it out of the cup. You either got to let it fall super fucking hard, and that's awkward, and it makes a loud noise, and I always feel like I'm wrecking the green. Or you set it down gingerly, and you just look like a weird ass.
Dude, I'll tell you what I do. Maybe this is a weird move, but when I go to lay the pin down, I'll stick my foot out and point my foot, my
like
toes
you try to
into
catch
the air.
It. Yeah.
And then I'll catch the flag in the crook of my ankle and then lay it down like that, let it roll off.
Which also looks dumb.
I mean, it can be athletic. You can make it look athletic.
I'm sure.
It doesn't happen a lot of the time.
It would only be cool if you like threw it up and then caught it on your foot and then let it down.
Maybe I got to start adding pin tricks to my repertoire.
Yeah.
I hate, and this might just be a personal thing, but if I've already putted out and I grab the pin off the ground to get ready to put it back in the hole, I usually like just lean it on my shoulder. But then the flag is like blowing in my face. And I'm like, fuck, I hope this doesn't like ruin this guy's focus on his putt or what. It's just like, so then I end up like putting my arm behind my head and grabbing the flag and just holding it for a couple seconds. And then we're good to go.
Yeah, just add all of this stuff to another reason why I don't pull the pin.
I don't either. Jade was pulling the pin every time.
Every hole.
And yeah, Jade's the one type of guy that just lets it fucking slam. Yeah. And then I cringe every time that happens.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't do anything to the green, I feel like it is.
It sounds like it also sounds like the pin is like breaking.
Yeah. Why is that?
It's because of the little spinner thing on the top of the pin to keep the flag always pointing out. Like sure. That's why.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm not a big pin puller.
No, me either. I'm not pulling pins often.
And it, like,
and when I do, I feel like an idiot every time.
Yeah. And like if you hit a putt and the ball like deflects off the flag, that counts.
Count it. COVID Cup.
Yeah. I mean, still ingrained in all of our memories, COVID Cup. Guys were dropping handicaps by like double digits back during COVID.
Yeah, they were.
Slam one off the pool noodle. Good to go. That's a birdie.
Wild times.
It was. Another thing that makes me feel dumb is when I go into the clubhouse to check in for a tee time, right at the time of my tee time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I obviously try and not let this happen ever. But the times that I do, I know that the people at the pro shop are just dying inside.
They're like, yep, you're ready. Get out there. Yep,
you guys are on the tee right now. So, yeah, just if you want to just hustle up. Well, could I actually get a bucket of range balls real quick? can I meet him at hole two? Yeah, it's not a good feeling. And it's almost like a walk of shame walking into the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Because just the way your body language is, they can probably tell you're with the 10:02 tee time and it's 10:01 and you still have to pay and get your cart and put your clubs in. I mean, it's not a 60-second process.
No, and by the way, you ran out of tees last round, so you got to buy some of those too.
Correct.
So here, have you worked at a golf course? I feel like you've worked at a golf course.
I have not.
Jake, you have, but never in like a clubhouse or anything. I feel like the dudes at the front desk would appreciate it if you walked in and be like, hey, my tee time's up now. Can I pay after?
Interesting.
Because like some of the guys have already paid, right? So then there's money in. Like, hey, I'm with that group. Can I pay you after I'm done? I promise.
You probably maybe just have to leave your card with them so they can, I mean.
But then at that point, like, I'm just trying to save time here. So like, we don't have to do the transaction and shit. You just be like, hey, that's me. Can I pay you after? Or even you just go play and then like, hey, I showed up late. Because I did that in league
once. Or you pay at the turn.
I did that at league once. I showed up late. My team was already on hole two. So I just went straight to hole two, played with them and then paid after. And they didn't say shit.
Dang. Yeah. I mean, that would make
big
sense
time,
to me.
Trustworthy people.
Yeah.
I'd leave.
Like, I'm sure in their system.
You would. You crook.
Oh, 100% would.
You dine and dash?
I haven't yet, but I would leave. If I was like, hey, I'll pay afterwards. I'm playing 18. I'm leaving.
Trevor.
I'd probably forget.
I didn't know about
why
about
not.
You'd
save $50.
You have a pass, dude.
Yeah, that's if you're playing far.
If you have a pass, for sure, just skip.
Oh, yeah.
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 You just go flash them and then you just walk out.
But, so you were, you would just walk out,
You would
out,
steal,
huh?
Trevor?
Oh, yeah. There's times where I'll go to like different courses. I'll be like, oh, I'm just going to play nine. And then we just go play the back, or we play the front nine, go to the back nine, and just leave.
You son of a bitch.
That's theft.
That's theft.
That's called scamming the system.
That's called
theft,
which is a crime.
Like scamming is... That's jail time, potentially.
Don't look at me, man.
That's maybe like civil court.
How much money have you scammed the city of Fargo of?
City of Fargo's zero. Other courses, probably $60.
You son of a bitch.
Smarter, not harder.
And that's maybe that's smarter. Why. Maybe that
just stealing.
I do
no,
think
not.
The
yes, it is.
There's no tee time that's going to go play. If I say I'm playing nine and I only play nine, there's not going to have a tee time to go play the back nine then.
You don't know that?
Because my tee time is set for 18 holes no matter what. It's
yeah,
just
but
continuous.
You're supposed to pay to use the course, and then you're not.
I did pay to use a course.
You paid to use the first nine holes of the course?
Well, I used half of it. I didn't see the whole course.
The greenskeepers.
Yeah, because you didn't pay for it.
The greenskeepers, they still have to essentially take care of your back nine, though, that you're not paying. So the greenskeeper, they're
out of money. I fixed my divots. I'm chilling.
Are you mowing? Are you
he's an honorable thief.
Yeah. I can. I can
you
go.
Mowing? Are you changing pins? Are you?
I'll change pins.
Raking bunker. You know.
I do rake my bunkers.
I bet you,
Trevor. That's stealing.
No, not stealing. Just borrowing.
No. It's
no. You're not borrowing. You're not giving it back at all.
Well, I'll come back to the course if they let me play nine again.
So it's stealing again.
Yeah,
it dude. Just keeps adding up.
Oh yeah.
I never knew how much of a crook. I thought you were a more honorable guy.
If I'm saving $20, I'm saving $20. Damn, that's another round.
Times are hard. Huh. Shit, Trevor.
Gotta get efficient.
You said the change in pin thing. We could be a funny video if like greenskeeper sets course record and he's like out there cutting pins for that day, but he plays the hole and then he just cuts the pin 2 inches from his ball every time.
That'd be
so it's a 2-inch one putt every single time.
That'd be great.
I don't know how to cut a pin. I don't know how to pull this off, but any greenskeeper content creators out there, free idea for you.
We got a lot of greenskeepers in the DMs.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know how to move on after that one.
We should put a cup cutter in our bag. Would the course even know if we changed the pin? Are they going to notice?
I mean, if we did a good enough job. I think that I think when the greenskeepers come back the next day, they'd be like,
this happened. They ain't gonna know. They put in 18 pins.
But I'm sure, like,
but there's like a schedule of like where they go.
Yeah, there's certain spots. Huh?
Because I don't think they change them every day. I think it's like every 3 days.
Okay.
Probably from Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that makes me feel like a complete dumbass at the golf course is this is an obvious one. When you are getting a bucket of range balls and you forget to put the bucket down. Is there anything more demoralizing than when that happens?
No, and there's 50 balls just bouncing around you. Everybody's looking at you. This happened to me at Osgood. I did put a bucket down there. I just put it in the wrong spot, even though there's a fucking hook for the bucket. I just put it in the wrong place and all the balls fell out. And I was like, God damn it, dude.
Especially if there's people waiting behind you to get their range balls.
Oh, just not.
It's a tough look.
Yeah, it really is. You know, like when you like drop a receipt or something like that and it gets caught in the wind or like a plastic. Yeah, you got to chase around. You got to do that. But times 50
chasing a golf ball is just as awkward.
Yeah, for sure. Same thing. Oof.
And it doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, I mean, that will stick with you for a lifetime.
Yeah.
I can specifically remember the times that's at. It's probably only happened 2 or 3 times at Osgood, the same course
you're
talking about. And it seems like there's always people waiting behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened when I've been the person waiting. So it's like, fuck, like, do I help this guy pick the balls up? Or do I
Because that's
like,
going to make him feel just as bad.
Put them in his pocket. One for you, one for me.
Yeah, I'll probably maybe just grab 5-10 of them.
Yeah.
Trevor's probably grabbing all of them. He's probably just stealing the kid's bucket.
Well, Ryan, you're one to talk with the range balls. You'll put a bucket in your truck and drive away.
And then I'll hit them at the range the next day, usually.
Still stealing, but you are returning.
That's called
more borrowing, but it's still illegal. It's still stealing. But you returned the stolen property.
Well, I will say too, and this is a true fact. The range balls at this course are just balls that have been found on the course.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the course isn't paying for those balls.
It's still, but it's the still range. Their property.
Yeah, I mean, I still can't get on. But I'm just not going to agree.
Ryan's going to still. He's going to do it.
I know he's not going to stop.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just want him to have
a bucket of baseballs is different because like having a bucket of baseballs is the best. If you find a ball like at a softball diamond or something, like throw that in the bucket. If it's a Sunday afternoon and softballs is Tuesday, Thursday, of course I'm going to put that in my
bucket. That's a finder's keeper situation, not a here's $5 for this bucket that I'm renting from you.
Yeah, but
I'm going to take it home instead.
But that ball that you're taking and not giving back is someone's
lost property, not owned by a course that you're paying to borrow.
And are all the balls coming back to that course within usually 24 hours?
Yes, but you did steal them first. I'm giving you a pass more than Trevor here. I'm just trying to point out and. We did post about this and people were like, yeah, that's a terrible move, Ryan.
And people were also like, hey, I do the same thing.
Yeah, they're all crooks too.
And I It'd be a different story if they were like the Pro V1 practice balls.
Yeah, I would be more on board with you if they were. You'd fucking pocket them shit.
But then essentially you're stealing more. You're stealing more money from the course because of the quality.
How do we feel about, like, where does it stand morally taking way more tees than you need from the free tee bin?
Oh,
like, it's technically totally okay because they are free. They are being given to you. But do we feel a little wrong morally taking way more than we need?
Well, I think let's look at it in a different situation. Let's say you had a pan of tater tot hot dish, and it was only a serving for like six. You had six people, but you take two servings.
I would feel bad. So maybe I'm gonna stop taking handfuls of teas out of the free tea box.
They just need to start packaging them in little
dime baggies.
Like little dime baggies at 18 teas a piece.
That's a lot of teas.
But that's all you need.
People are so used to the handful, then they may just take a handful of individual bags.
True.
That's true. And then you're out in multiples of 18.
Correct.
Why do we do that? We have enough teas. Is it just because we love free shit so much? Like, I have no need for the handful of teas in the free tea box, but I will take them every single time.
I will too. I mean, they're the nice plastic teas. They typically are.
Yeah.
Even if they're the shitty wooden ones, I'm still taking a handful and I don't need them.
It's like church coffee. Like,
true.
It's there, whatever quality. You don't really care about it, but it's there and you're going to have a cup of it, you know?
I also think it's a situation where you never want to have to buy more teas.
You're right. They're so readily available they're so free. You know what I mean? You can find them for free pretty much everywhere that at a last resort, you don't want to buy them.
Correct.
That's the last thing you should be spending money on.
I've probably bought tees like maybe three times ever in my golf career. And that's usually like a new bag situation or a switching bag situation where you don't have tees in there because it's pockets are empty or you cleaned your bag out.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a mental thing.
It is. Yeah. You just don't want to spend money on it. It's like buying a new toothbrush too. It's like, it's like I can get a free one from my dentist or I could spend $8 on one at Walgreens. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Another thing that makes me feel really dumb. This happened to me on Sunday.
I got to step out.
All right. See you, Ryan.
You guys finish her off.
Yeah. Well, this will just be the last bit then.
Love you all.
It happened to me on Sunday. I was putting so badly that my friends started to give me way too generous of gimmies. There's like, I got like a 7 foot putt and Connor looks and he's like, that's good if you want it. I'm like, you can't give me that.
You
cannot give me that.
Appreciate it, but no.
Yeah. It's like, he's just embarrassed about my putting for me that he's trying to be nice, but it just makes the embarrassment even worse.
Oh, I'm so, yeah. That's good, Grandpa. You did a good job.
Nice try, buddy. You can have that one.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I don't want it at all. Thanks, though. And then I'll three putt from here, but thanks.
It's a T-ball home run right there, man.
Yep.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was like a hole seven or something. I legitimately had like a 6 or 7 foot putt, and he goes, that's good.
I'm so sorry.
I can't take that.
Putting the dog down.
Yep. Yeah, it was fully out to pasture. But yeah, should we wrap her up?
Let's wrap her up. Tyler, I hope you putt better next week round.
I'm going to putting gauntlet Wednesday.
When do you
tomorrow
actually play a full round?
Today.
Today?
No, I'm just doing my putting gauntlet in my head. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I don't ever make tee times anymore. I just get invited to them.
Yes.
Which is a sweet place to be. I have enough golf groups now where I can pretty much guarantee at least a one invite per weekend.
Yep.
So I know that one is coming. And I'll just sit and wait. And if not, oh, well, we can still just enjoy the weekend.
It's supposed to rain this weekend, so.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get out Thursday. Thursday is supposed to be nice.
70.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Later, homies. Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
They piped that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.